Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
Today, let's begin our program with questions all of us should ask ourselves at middle age. Am I stuck in a place I don't want to be in my career, relationship, health and fitness, or finances, whatever? Do I keep making choices or let others make choices for me that keep me bogged down or headed in the wrong direction? Do I lack a clear target destination for the rest of my life and or a viable game plan to help me get there? And am I full of built-in excuses for remaining stuck on neutral? Do I routinely blame someone else or life circumstances beyond my control? And if you answered yes to one or more of these questions, you most certainly are not alone. In fact, I would bet a vast majority of folks feel like one or more aspects of their lives or careers are less than ideal at middle age. And in her website bio, my guest today, transformational trainer Michelle Nagel, puts it this way: I felt like I was trapped behind a wall of glass, watching the world go by, but unable to find the door so I could join in. But here's some great news. After years of searching and experimentation, Michelle has broken through her glass wall in a big way, and she's here to share with us her pathway from darkness to light, and she's prepared to lay the groundwork for us to do the same. And Michelle Nagel is a resilient survivor of childhood abuse. She once struggled to take the pain she felt in every aspect of her life, as she puts it. For years, she owned and operated successful businesses, but they were not ventures she loved or felt passionate about. And that all changed a few years ago when she discovered a perfect path to my dreams, as she puts it. And as founder and president of Soul Shift, Inc., she has been leading transformational workshops and retreats for over 15 years, empowering folks like you and me to take responsibility for their own health and well-being. An international speaker, a master herbalist, and a certified Jack Canfield Success Principles trainer, and she's author of the highly acclaimed 2016 book, Suffering is Optional, Step Out of Darkness and Into the Light. And hello, Michelle Nagel, we're so honored to welcome you as a guest on Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
Thank you very much, Roy. It's nice to be here.
It's especially great to have an inspirational trainer who is helping bring others along and who has overcome a difficult path. That's very impressive. You know, so often when we suffer loss, say breakup of a relationship, job loss, financial disaster, or death of a loved one, whatever, a well-meaning person will tell us, time heals all wounds, just hang in there. Maybe we even say this to ourselves. Why, in fact, does this trite expression meant to give comfort actually cause harm?
Well, if you think about it, if you were chopping an onion in preparation for making dinner,
yeah,
and while you were at it, you chopped your finger, too, and just looked at it and said, oh, heck, time will heal that, and you did nothing for it, we all know what would happen to it. It would get infected,
yeah,
and it would, you know, could cause some serious health issues depending,
yeah,
on what you've got going on in your body.
Yeah.
Well, the same thing happens to our emotions. If we have a trauma, some horrible thing that shakes our belief in how the world is supposed to run and shakes us to our very core, and we think, oh, heck, I'll just, you know, time will take care of that,
yeah,
then it festers and essentially gets infected just the same way your physical body does.
That's a great parallel that you make there with that cutting your finger.
Yeah, so, you know, immediately the first thing that we do when we have something, a wound, is that we clean it out,
yeah,
and we put some disinfectant on it, and then we put a Band-Aid on it, and then we,
yeah,
kind of watch it and make sure that it heals.
Yeah.
The same thing has to be done to our emotions.
Well, what are some other harmful myths that many of us believe about getting over loss?
Well, there's just the fact that believing that, say, for example, if you get into an argument with a relative and you think, well, I'm just going to ignore them or ignore the problem and it will go away.
Yeah.
The relationship is going to deteriorate. It's not going to get any better. And actually, this came about because somebody made that comment to me. It's like, well, they need time to heal because, as you know, time heals all wounds.
Yeah.
And that just made me outraged because, of course, I know that it doesn't work that way.
That's so true. Well, what are three main reasons why so many of us remain bogged down in sorrow or disappointment and keep missing out on the healing that we so strongly desire?
Okay, the first reason is that most of the time when something happens, the first emotion that we feel is anger.
Yes.
And anger is a defensive emotion.
Yeah.
It lashes out because it doesn't want we don't want anybody to know that deeply, deep down we're hurt.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And if we recognize that we're hurt, instead of just getting angry and blowing up, then we can deal with the issue in a different way.
Yeah.
Because when we get angry, of course, oftentimes we're irrational. We say things we don't want to say. But if we can step back just a moment in our own head and say, oh, that really hurt, then we can look at it from a different way. So,
and when you think about it, just being angry really doesn't accomplish anything. It just festers and it ruins the whole day, in effect. It keeps
moving
on, and it's just such a pointless. I mean, you can get angry at the moment that it happens. If something happens that is not to your liking, or somebody offends you or does something harmful to you, but sitting around and festering on that is certainly not going to accomplish anything.
Right, exactly. And I'm not saying that anger is a bad thing. And we need to acknowledge the anger. It's kind of like a little child that comes up and wants us to notice it. We can kind of pat it on the head and say, oh, you're angry, I notice you.
Yeah.
And then send it on its way and move on to the next step of healing, which is to deal with the hurt. But the most important thing that anybody can do is to accept 100% responsibility for your life.
Oh.
And what that means is that something happens to you. You didn't necessarily set yourself up to have that happen. I'm not one who purports that everything that happens to you is your fault. I personally don't believe that.
Yeah.
But I do believe that how you respond to everything that happens to you is what you have complete control over.
That's very true.
And so if you accept 100% responsibility for yourself, your own behaviors, your own actions, your own thoughts, then that is the most powerful thing that you can do. And you can choose how to look at this event that has happened to you.
Yeah.
You can look at it as a learning opportunity, because all of the things that have happened to me in my life, I would not have wished them on my worst enemy.
Yeah.
And yet, today, I can look at them as my schooling, my opportunity for learning, so that I can be more empathetic and more helpful to other people who have also experienced the same thing.
Yeah, isn't
so
that
for
wonderful?
Me, I look
You're
at it as
inspiring other people and other children that suffered abuse. A lot of them are in jail now, or they're on drugs, or they do awful things that are blamed on their childhood, and yet you've proven that that kind of thing can be overcome, which is,
absolutely,
I think, a wonderful phrase.
Right, absolutely. And then the third thing is that you get to make a choice.
Yeah.
No matter what happens to you in your life, you get to choose how you're going to respond to it. That's the most powerful and exciting thing about being a human being, is that we get to choose. And we've all seen beautiful examples of people who've had horrible things happen to them and who have chosen not to take offense.
Yeah.
So if you want to have more harmony in your life, then take your power back. You know, don't let somebody else rule your life. Don't let somebody else tell you what to do, think, or feel.
Oh,
do that on your own.
That's so important. It's so unfortunate when somebody lets someone else make choices for them and, you know, lead them into things they don't really want to do just because they don't step up to make their own choices. And well, in your book's intro, you reveal that your own years of frustration when you never felt like you were good enough and you were puzzled why you couldn't find the happiness you observed in other people. How ultimately did you learn how to release your pain and discover a blueprint to happiness? Was it a single discovery or a series of events that led you to overcome your paralyzing fear and leap for your dreams, as you put it? It's just such an inspiring story. What set that in motion?
Well, when I was growing up, I was always told that I was a child of God. And but if I was, why was I treated the way I was treated? It didn't make any sense to me. Yeah. It was just the complete opposite of, you know, you got to be lying to me, because if I was, you wouldn't treat me like this.
Yeah.
But I somehow felt that there was a kernel of truth in there that somehow, because you look at, even when you look at evolution, the species all evolve within their own species.
Yeah.
And so I knew that I wasn't like anybody else in the world, that everything about me is completely, absolutely unique, from my fingertips down to my DNA, to my genetics and everything. Nobody else has anything like that. So that has to make us as individuals very special and very priceless.
Yeah, everyone should believe that, too.
Yeah. And so if that's the case, then I deserve to have a better life.
Yeah.
And so I began studying everything that I could get my hands on. I started out, my first thing was with John Bradshaw and his books, which were cutting edge at the time that he published them. And I've just gone through, I basically got a psychology degree without going to a university, because I studied everything I could get my hands on. And I began to recognize the responsibility that I had in my own self, because not only am I a unique individual, but I have the power to design my own life.
Yeah,
and so when I started believing that I was in control, that I had control, I started wrenching that control back from the people who were trying to control me and making different choices. And some of those choices were really hard and really painful, because we all get in our status quo. You know, this is my path. This is the path I've been on for the last 50 years. It's comfortable to me. And it's difficult to make changes.
Even when we're miserable, like the dog sitting on a tack that is too, you know, so set in their ways they don't want to move.
Exactly. Absolutely. Yes. Yes, absolutely. But if you want to make changes, you have the power to make changes. So the first thing you have to come up with is the desire. Do you want to change your life? Do you want to be different? Do you want to have joy and harmony? So one of the things that's really important to do is make a list of all the people that you hang out with. So, you know, pull out a piece of paper and a pen and write down all the people that you hang out with, and then put a plus or a minus by their name. If they are a positive person that builds you up, or if they are a negative person that tears you down.
Yeah.
And if you end up having people that have more negatives than positives, you need to figure out if you want to continue hanging out with those
people. Hopefully your spouse will be a plus and not a negative.
Hopefully, yes, hopefully. Some cases, people like that are sometimes a plus and a minus. You can put a plus and a minus by them.
True.
And if you really, truly love each other, then you can have a conversation and say, you know, I need you to be more positive, and this is what I need. But instead of causing it to be a fight, you don't want to get into an argument with them.
Yeah.
You can start out with, you know, I really need your help. This is what I need from you.
Yeah.
And be very clear about what you need.
And this is what I want to give back to you. You know, you want to be a positive
influence
in your spouse's life as well. But
absolutely.
Well, your personal transformation keynotes, your workshops and retreats are all infused with your soul shift blueprint. And on your website, isoulshift.com, you reveal that each letter in soul stands for one aspect of recovery, personal growth, and self-empowerment. Can you please describe briefly what each letter stands for in the S-O-U-L?
Oh, heavens, I was afraid you were going to ask me that.
You don't
soul
have
is,
to answer.
I should have that in my head, but I don't. I know that it's suffering and overcoming and understanding and letting go is the soul.
Yes, and then survive, isn't it? I think that survive,
yes.
Overcome.
Oh, survive. Yes,
let
it is.
Go.
Yes. Yes, because that's what we do, is we survive what we've gone through. And then the shift portion is where you actually go from recognizing this is what I've got and this is not what I want, and
yeah.
Going ahead to transforming your life.
Yeah, that's why it's so important that, you know, people are frustrated where they are, but unless they really have a key picture of what they want to shift to and where they want to go in life, they're probably not going to get very far, because somebody's not come along and going to come along and wave a magic wand and show us exactly what we want out of life, unless we work on finding that ourselves.
Absolutely. It's really important that, again, the desire. You know, you can often want something.
Yeah.
Like, I want to play the cello.
Yeah.
But I've never made even the first effort to learn how to play the cello.
Yeah.
I just want to want to.
Well,
and
maybe someday
so,
you'll wake up and be an accomplished cellist.
Maybe I will, but right now apparently that's not really important to me. And
yeah.
that's something that we need to realize also is, do I want to change my life? Do I really
yeah.
want to? Or do I just want to dream about it? Because it does take work and it does take effort.
Yeah,
but the wonderful thing is that we have the power to do it.
Yeah. Well, for some of us, it may be so obvious as to why as adults we keep missing out on happiness. But we may wonder why we keep doing foolish things that we do. But perhaps surprising to many, you point out that our childhood may be hijacking our adult lives. In what ways can negative circumstances from childhood, like growing up poor, being abused, or losing a parent to death, divorce, jail, drugs, whatever, lead to bad choices today? How does that work?
Well, in 1998, Kaiser Permanente did a study, and they called it the Adverse Childhood Experiences Study,
oh,
ACES study.
Yeah.
And the wonderful thing about that is the Center for Disease Control picked up on that, and
yeah.
they have discovered that there are 10 questions of have you experienced this in your childhood?
Huh.
And they've discovered that when you answer those 10 questions, depending on what your number is between 1 and 10, some
huh.
people are 0. They've not had any of them, and bless their hearts, that's wonderful. But it also directly correlates to medical problems that they experience later in their life. So oftentimes, when we are born, we are
yeah.
given this beautiful slate. It's a complete blank slate.
Yeah.
And it has no expectations, no beliefs, and no restrictions on it at all. But the people who are raising us are very busily inscribing their beliefs and their expectations
<They sure are.
laughs> on the wall right there. So
yeah.
when we grow up and we're given an opportunity, maybe a choice to make, we look at the choice and we go, oh, that looks kind of interesting. I wonder if I can do that. And then we check against the wall to see if we can do it or not.
Yeah.
And if we've got limiting beliefs that have been written on that wall, like you're too stupid to come in out of the rain or whatever
yeah.
it happens to be that's been written on there, then we're less likely to take those opportunities for growth, which
yeah,
we can have.
Yeah, that's so tragic
when
a parent, perhaps unintentionally or maybe intentionally, or maybe even a school teacher or somebody like that, implants that negative writing on the wall of a child in their mind,
mm-hmm.
and it can be very difficult to overcome, obviously.
It definitely is. And we have, many of us have beliefs about money, for example,
yeah.
that were given to us by our parents.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's really limiting for us. There are people who've been unable to purchase a home that they wanted because it was nicer than the one that their parents lived in.
Huh.
Or people who are unable to make a certain level of income because their father never made that much money.
Yeah.
And so that's how we end up with generational poverty,
huh.
because people are unable to break out of the limiting beliefs that were written on their wall. And then the next generation comes along and they write those same things on that wall.
Well, what is the best course of action to deal with these unwanted trapped emotions that may stem back from childhood or whenever, but how do we overcome those?
Well, again, the first thing is to recognize that you want to change it.
Yeah.
And that you have the power to change it. And then it's very important to find a guide, somebody who can help you to overcome those. I personally teach people how to do energy therapies, which enable them to release those from their emotions, to essentially erase the wall, and then write on. And then we follow with the success principles, and we write on the things that we prefer to have in our lives.
Oh, I see. Well, a really
and
bad habit.
And for me, that's how I was able to do it.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
A really bad habit so many of us have is comparing yourself to someone else, and this can be destructive whether you resent someone else or you consider yourself superior to someone else, as you point out. And what are three reasons to stop doing that? You have a nice blog on your website that talks about the three reasons.
The people, for one thing, none of us are exactly the same.
Yeah.
And if you compare yourself to somebody else, you're only comparing yourself to their perfection, the only thing that you can see.
Yeah.
You're not comparing themselves, you're not comparing yourself to them when they first crawl out of bed in the morning and they look just horrible. You're comparing yourself to them after they're all made up and looking wonderful.
That's true.
So,
and you're comparing apples to oranges because you're not the same person as that, someone else.
Exactly. And, you know, what I may find to be a real challenge may be a snap for somebody else and vice versa.
Yeah.
You know, so we never, ever compare ourselves to somebody else at the same level as we are. You know, we don't, we never know what's going on in somebody's life because we all put on masks in the morning.
Yeah.
First thing up in the morning, we put on this mask and this is the face that we present to the world and nobody sees what's going on in our hearts.
But by, you know, you can either be envious of somebody else or you can look down on someone else, and neither of them are healthy because it doesn't help you to say, well, I'm better than Joe Blow or Mary Smith or whatever, because that really doesn't get you anywhere. I like the way you say what you should compare with is how you were yesterday or last month or whenever, and how are you now and how close are you to where you want to be makes a lot more sense than comparing others.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk a bit about your acclaimed new book, Suffering is Optional, Step Out of the Darkness into the Light. You've been successful in transforming personal lives for 15 years through keynote speeches, workshops, retreats, one-on-one coaching. What prompted you to step back and write this book now?
It's something that needed to be said. There are teachings in there that we just don't think about. People don't talk about emotions. It's like we're not allowed to have them. And they rule our lives. They're part of us. And so we're only concerned about maybe our intellect or our behavior, but we don't talk about our emotions. And we're whole individuals. We have to heal the entire body as a whole.
Yeah.
And so it's really important that we make sure that the emotions are dealt with, they are recognized. And for example, in my book I give a story of a gentleman who was addicted to pornography, and he could not break that addiction no matter what he tried. And he came to me as a last resort because he had tried everything, and his wife was going to leave him and take the kids, and it was just going to be a bad thing. And so he came to me, and we worked together for only three sessions, which are an hour each, and we discovered something that happened to him when he was 3 years old that had absolutely nothing to do with anything, as far as we could tell, but that event, when we cleared that event, he no longer had an addiction to pornography.
Boy, isn't that amazing. That's especially amazing since it happened when he was only 3 years old. It wouldn't seem to have any relation to pornography.
You wouldn't think so. Yeah.
Well, if there was one message you would like readers to take away from your book, what would it be?
That you are priceless, precious individuals, and you can design your life to be what you want it to be because you have the power of choice and accountability, which is that if you hold yourself accountable for your choices and decisions, then you can change your life because you are one of the most powerful beings on the planet.
Yeah, no, that's such a good message. And where's the best place to go to preview and purchase your book? I notice on your website you offer a free chapter for download in exchange for an email address. What's the website we should go to get that?
It's isoulshift.com.
I see. And you can also, I guess, preview your book through Amazon. I noticed it was on there. And
yes, you can.
Place as well. But, in conclusion, I must confess, for years I stumbled through adult life pursuing a career and lifestyle I didn't particularly admire. And the primary reason I didn't fully understand why I did what I did. And unlike Michelle Nagel, I was raised in a loving home and never suffered childhood abuse. But for different reasons, whatever, a little voice inside kept telling me that I wasn't good enough or deserving enough to enjoy the life and career of my dreams. And I didn't even have a very clear vision of what that ideal life would look like. And unlike you, I did not have Michelle Nagel's book to guide me. And I guarantee you don't have to suffer through life any longer. And I would highly recommend you preview her book, Suffering is Optional. If any of these statements apply to you, you are motivated to make big changes in your life, but you're uncertain how to do it. And for the right reasons, not personal greed, you want to make more money, contribute more to others, and enjoy a more abundant life. And you know deep down you're capable of doing great things. You just aren't sure yet precisely what they are. And you want to revitalize your career and take it in a new direction. And you want to create a healthier life-work balance, both for yourself and your family. You want to improve your relationships, personal and professional. And you dream of big, ambitious plans for yourself, but you have no idea how to put them in action. And I would highly recommend Michelle Nagel's book for all those purposes. And thank you so much, Michelle Nagel, for your inspirational comments today.
Thank you very much, Roy. I appreciate your invitation.
And best of success with your new book. I'm sure that people will want to get a hold of that because it definitely has a positive message for the future to get unstuck at middle age. That was a wonderful message from our guest, Michelle Nelson, encouraging us to make a soul shift from negative to positive. Indeed, suffering through life is optional, not mandatory. You and I were not created or placed on this planet to be last in line, looked down upon, or taken advantage of by anyone else. But the first person that you may need to convince yourself of this is yourself. As we approach Thanksgiving weekend, here's a suggestion to help you along. Take time out over the weekend between eating turkey, reuniting with your extended family who's in town for the long weekend, shopping, of course, on Black Friday, and watching football, and go off by yourself, perhaps for an hour or more, however much time you need, and concentrate on all the blessings you have in your life at middle age, at this point in your life. Identify all the positives in your life today. Start by taking out either your computer notebook or a blank sheet of paper and write at the top, present positives in the life of, and list your name. Then start at the top and write down every positive aspect of your life at this very moment in time. And positive elements you may wish to include, include the following. The location where you live, maybe if you really like your house and neighborhood, or the general geographic territory you're in, maybe you live in Honolulu or some beautiful area like that, or maybe you like the cold and you live in Fargo, North Dakota. Whatever it is, if you like where you live, list that. Second, positive aspects of your current job, career, or business, assignments, the general nature of the work you do, perks in your job, your boss, if you like him or her, co-workers, people you really get along with at work, any aspect of your work day, even if the overall tenor is not that great. Try to find some positive elements of that work day that you like. How about cherish personal relationships with individuals you love and respect? I'm talking primarily, of course, about family members, if you have a warm relationship with your spouse and your kids, but it could be close friends and other people as well. How about positive characteristics of you? And this means you've got to forget all those negatives you keep tearing yourself down with and write down aspects of you as a person which you most admire. It might be appearance, intellect, athletic ability, spirit of adventure, imagination, even temper, character, personality. I can't tell you what to write, but you certainly like some parts of you, if not all of you. Are you especially proud of your physique or physical fitness? Do you make friends easily? Do you stand out in a crowd? Are you a fast learner? Do you maintain an exemplary level of ethical conduct? Whatever it might be, list those positive aspects of you. How about positive life circumstances? Aspects of your situation today that you're proud of and happy about. Perhaps you just paid off your mortgage and personal finances no longer are a challenge. Maybe your last child recently left for college or an adult life, freeing you up for new adventures, just you or you and your spouse. Do you reap benefits daily from a warm, loving relationship with that lifelong companion, your spouse? Do you share an active lifestyle with a wide circle of friends? List all those positive life circumstances. How about your talents and accomplishments? Are you a talented musician, athlete, actor, or public speaker? Or actress, I might add. Were you a tennis star in college? Did you perform in a high school musical to rave reviews? Whatever your talent is, list those. And individuals whose lives you have impacted in a positive manner. This is certainly an essential element, what you did for others. Perhaps you may wish to include in your list your own children, an intern or apprentice at work, a young person you mentored through Boys or Girls Club, certain exceptional students if you're a teacher, maybe players on your Little League team if you're the coach, or elderly residents of a nursing home that you routinely visit as an unpaid volunteer. Could be your own parents, people that you positively impacted their lives. That's so important. Now you've got that list. As a next step for each positive aspect of your life, please answer the following two questions. Am I building upon this positive experience or utilizing this identified talent or capability to enhance my own life and the life of others today? And the second question is, if not, what steps might I take to bring this favorable circumstance back into my life and to use this talent for the benefit of yourself and others? Those are such crucial questions, because if there are positive aspects of your life that you're not utilizing or enjoying, they're not doing you much good, are they? And regrettably, a few of you may find it difficult to identify a single, generally positive element in your life at this moment in time. I certainly hope not. But if so, if this sad picture describes you, I strongly encourage you not to give up hope, because even the most dispirited midlife woman or man has potential to envision and implant vivid mind pictures of a brighter tomorrow. Actual studies of human behavior demonstrate that over time, with continual reinforcement, a steady diet of positive mind images will magically begin to transform an individual's very own perception of reality. So don't give up, and don't write yourself off. You have talents. You have abilities. There's wonderful creativity within you as long as you recognize it and are willing to draw it out. And now that you have identified all the blessings in your life today, ask yourself this question, and this is probably the most important question anyone can ask themselves. Do positive or negative emotions dominate my life today? Are your everyday activities fueled by fear of failure, fear that something bad is about to happen, or by a spirit of adventure? within your heart, are you confident that your present mix of vocation, relationships, and lifestyle is likely to propel you to the future of your dreams, at least a second half that's full of joy and positive expectations? And should you include that your life today is dominated by negative expectations, I strongly encourage you to launch an immediate campaign to refocus that dominant mindset, to restore a spirit of optimism. You will need to replace today's overriding premise. Do you have this kind of premise in your life today? And if so, I strongly want you to abandon it. The premise is, it is inevitable that somewhere along the line, something will go wrong. I always wind up disappointed in the end. Boy, I lived by that premise for a whole lot of years, but I don't anymore. And here's the replacement premise that I want you to adopt. I am absolutely certain that over time, I will triumph and will accomplish every single objective in my life that's genuinely important to me. If you have that kind of an outlook, that things will work out for the best in the future, 99% of the time they will. As you transform your basic life premise from negative to positive, I promise you'll experience an unquenchable emotional uplifting, which will impact favorably on every aspect of your daily experience. Future prospects will appear bright, not dim. As you move forward, you will condition your mind to seek out the positive, to overcome every obstacle, and to seek out and achieve each potential opportunities. The path ahead will appear level or downhill, no longer a constant uphill struggle, and your train of life will advance down the track at your own pace to a predetermined favorable destination, no longer derailed, stuck in the station, or heading in reverse. And perhaps for the first time in years, you will begin to picture yourself as a winner, which of course you are, a person of talent, intellect, creativity, and resourcefulness, able to negotiate every hurdle. And routine daily interactions with those around you will transition as well. You'll no longer be an energy drainer, you'll be an energy supplier, and people will want to be around you rather than avoid you. And rather than resenting success in others, you'll be eager to embrace fellow winners and to coach those less fortunate to similar self-realization and a positive outlook. As your outlook improves, you will come to relish those very challenges which previously you sought to avoid. And you'll no longer be afraid of failure. You'll embrace the chance to try something new. And as we close today's program, ask yourself one more time, is my dominant frame of reference positive or negative? Were it that simple, I'm certain without hesitation you would choose to adopt at this very moment a positive mental outlook from this moment forward. But unfortunately for so many of us, the often difficult process of transitioning from negative to positive may require weeks or even months of diligent effort. A life-altering change in attitude is neither instantaneous nor guaranteed, but believe me, the effort is worth it. Like me, you may have spent many years subconsciously reinforcing negative expectations. In all likelihood, self-doubt was implanted in early childhood when well-intentioned but totally unsuspecting parents, teachers, or adult role models first informed you of your personal limitations and that maybe you're not good enough and the dire consequences of failure. What a bunch of BS that so many of our young children go through. Should you find your pathway to lifelong contentment obstructed by a dominance of pessimistic expectations, please promise yourself that whatever the cost, you can and will establish a positive outlook on life. You know, my book may be able to help for a comprehensive guideline to midlife renewal, including replacing all those unfavorable negative expectations with a positive outlook on the future. Go to my book, that's A Midlife Challenge Wake Up by Roy C. Richards. You can find it on Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com or on our website, MiddleAgeRenewal.com. And now, let's forget the negative. Remember all that, those positives in your life that you just listed. Go over them again, and then go out and have a wonderful Thanksgiving weekend. No more time for regretting where you are today or the past. And we'll talk to you again next week on Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.